Jenny and I have now been here in Prague 1.5 years. And we've been in this congregation 1.5 years, and that's almost making us old timers. I know there's you that have been here longer than that, but we're a part of things here, and that's a really good thing. And from the day one that we stepped in, we have thoroughly loved and been encouraged and inspired by being a part of this congregation. On Friday, just for 3 weeks, Jenny and I are headed back to the States. It'll be my first time back in 2 years to Oregon. Jenny was back last year, but we're going back to see our 20-something children and Jenny's parents and her brother's family, including their daughter who's graduating from high school. We'll be gone for those 3 weeks and then back. It's hard for me to recognize, though, as I 2 years ago was thinking my first time to go back will be this June, that time has passed by, that we've been here 1.5 years. That means one of the things we do here is we teach English through Jazykovy Centrum, mostly to university students from VSE. And now we have 3 semesters under our belt. This spring we taught 12 students. To me it's amazing that Jenny said she was, did you give your age out just a few minutes ago? Well, I'm 9 years older than she is, so I'm even older, and it's amazing to us that these 20-something students seem like they want to spend time with us. They'll come to our house for dinner. They'll come to game nights. They'll initiate things with us. And it's been just a totally fun experience that we've had. Now, we teach them from day one that we're Christians and that we're also here if anyone wants to talk about God or study the Bible with us. We make that offer very clear, and there's no problem with that. And yet, at the same time, we're here first and foremost in their respect is to teach them English, and that's what we throw ourselves into. I want to begin this message this morning taking you back to March, 2 months ago. And 4 things happened in the space of 1 week in March. Now, I don't remember the exact details of the first one, but it was in the midst of one of our weeks of teaching classes that I became just totally aware of several of our students saying, we're all atheists. It's who we are. We're atheists. Now, the second thing is a little more clear because Jenny's told this story a number of times. And I've heard her tell it, but she was at her Czech class. She's learning Czech. We're both learning Czech in our own ways. Her class has had 2 other students and the teacher that particular day, and they were to write and talk about what they'd do if they won the lottery. And it must have been that Jenny had some unique things because it caused one of the students to ask her at the end of that time if she was religious. And she gave that answer. And then he asked one of the other students who was from Vietnam if he was religious. And he said, no, I'm secular. And then Jenny asked the guy who asked the question, he's from Australia, and said, are you religious? And he goes, no, I'm not. And the guy from Australia didn't want to leave the teacher out. He's very aware of the teacher. And he asked her, are you religious? And she says, I'm Czech. And that's the second one. In our classes, we offered this time that anyone who wanted to do a one-on-one, go to coffee or tea or anything, but just spend an hour one-on-one talking English. And one of our students took Jenny up on that. And she went not to speak English, Jenny find out, but she went because she is a Christian. And she knew that we were, and just wanted to talk about that and her experience and get to know us in that different way, in that one-on-one. Now, what's unique about her is that she is from the Ukraine. And when she was 7, she moved here with her mom, has been Greek Catholic in her faith. But in all this time, here she's in her early 20s, she'd never had a friend or met anyone who was also a Christian in all her time here in Prague. Who was her age. So that's the third thing. The fourth one had to do with square dance. That was March, correct? We had our second square dance here in this sanctuary, and I'd invited lots of people and our students and was excited. Well, one of my language helpers showed up. She didn't bring, couldn't get her boyfriend to come, but she got another friend to come. And Pastor Mark, during the square dance time, he said, you know, Easter's coming. We'd love to have any of you that would want to come. Just come and you know, just see what it's like here. And the person who came with my language helper talked to Jenny afterwards and seemed really interested. She was from Macedonia and had only been here a short time. Now, these things all taken together had an effect on me. And it may not be the effect it have on you, but part of it was very encouraging. I had some encouraging things that we'd met the person from the Ukraine and we're going to get to know her in that way, and that we had someone interested in checking out and being a part of worship. But there's also this kind of this heaviness, this kind of sense of but this is, don't you understand? We're all atheists. But what it caused me to do, but what it put in me, which is kind of my stubborn nature coming out, it put in me a resolve to pray. I became more resolved to pray, and I began to think again about how important that may be as we are here in Prague. So, our passage today, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. It's going to be a little bit different up on the screen, and it can go back up there if you want to in the other version. There it is. It says, pray diligently. Vitravli. I tried to get it with Mikal in Czech before. Be persistent. Keep doing something. Keep on doing something. Don't give up. Be persistent in prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Now, that's not a new thing for me. Prayer has always been big for me. I've been a pastor for 35 years in the States before we moved here, and I was devoted to prayer. I spent a day each week for many years just to go by myself and pray. My normal thing Saturday nights was several hours in the sanctuary praying, being ready, and interceding for the next day's services. For years, I would read a book every day on prayer. Not a lot of a book, maybe 2, 3, 4 pages, but over the course of that time, I read the classics on prayer, and I read most of the current things on prayer. One church I went to serve, Jenny began to get concerned because each week as I tried to just bring forth the message that I felt God was calling me to, I kept talking about prayer. And Jenny was going, Bill, you're talking about prayer all the time. Just too much. And yet it was the church where of all the places I've been, we were there for 6 years and it more than doubled in size at a place that our district superintendent said, this church will never grow. Just the geographics, the demographics of it. So prayer's big for me. And so when Pastor Mark came in December and he began talking about prayer, how prayer is such an important aspect. It's what Christianity is all, it's relating with God and combining that with the listening to God through the scripture of how important, and I'm out there and I'm kind of jumping in my seat. I don't get very demonstrative with my feelings real often, but inside I was kind of going, yeah, Pastor Mark, he's preaching to the choir now. You heard that saying, preaching to the choir? Anyway, it's to the people who are in agreement, and he's resonating with my heart. Be devoted to prayer. Now prayer is really, in one hand, really, really simple. Prayer is just talking with God. Now, I look at three-year-olds, and three-year-olds like to talk, most of them, and they like your attention, and they talk to you, and they talk to you, and they talk to you. Not every three-year-old, but so many of them. It's something, praying is something any three-year-old can do, because it's just talking with God. Yeah, there's other aspects, there's interaction, there's learning to listen, But by the time a child is four, what are they saying? They're asking you question after question after question as they're trying to figure out the world and how things work. Any 3-4-year-old knows how to pray. Well, that's what it's very simple. It's just like you did with your parents. It's doing that with our Creator, with God the Father. Be devoted to prayer. Persist in prayer. Keep at prayer. Keep doing it. Keep connecting with God. Just do it, do it, do it, and do it again. Now, yours says devote yourself to prayer. Mine says being watchful and thankful. It's a little different up there. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Now, as I was preparing for this, it was the word watchful that really caught my attention. Being watchful. Pray. Persist in prayer. Be watchful. What am I looking for? What will I see? What is he saying here to be watchful? Is he telling me to keep my eyes open for the presence of God? Is he telling me to keep my eyes open for what God is doing that day in my life, in the lives of the people around me and in my community? Is he telling me to be aware about who he is and how he looks at me and what he sees me as the one he created and loves? And here he says, with thankfulness. Is he saying that what's going to happen is I'm going to see the blessings of God. I'm going to be aware of his provision. I'm going to see his beauty. When I turn the corner and there's a new skyline of the wonderful buildings of Prague, will I see the beauty there? And will I go, wow, look at what your creation has done, God, what your creatures have done in putting together this magnificent city. That's reflective of who you are, our Creator, who made this world and the beautiful expanses of ocean, which aren't right here, but the beautiful trees and flowers. Be aware, watchful, get your eyes open. Everything that is good and beautiful flows from the hand of our Creator. Be devoted to prayer. Open your eyes. See what's going on around you, what God's doing and what he's made and all the beauty that's there. Connect with God. Watch. And he goes on, and pray for us too. Don't forget to pray for us. That's pretty much the same, isn't it? And pray for us too. This moves us from that kind of sense of awareness, of praying without ceasing, of looking and seeing God at work, to a more active. He's saying, pray for us too. We call that usually intercession. Now, praying's very simple. I have to say, though, that intercession isn't so simple. And a lot of the books that I read were dealing with that. And in some ways, I'm more confused about intercession than I was when I started. There's so much mystery. I prayed, nothing happened. I prayed, something happened. I prayed, something happened, but was different than what I was praying for. I prayed for my mom who was dying of cancer, and she wasn't healed. But I saw the power of God that I can look back 30-some years later and go, wow, that was the most profound thing I've ever experienced, was watching the presence of God in my mom's life as she battled cancer and as she died. So I don't have all the answers, but it keeps saying, and pray, and pray, and pray. Pray for us. Here, it says that God may open a door for our message. That God would open a door for our message. Now, 3 to 4 weeks ago, Pastor Mark asked Jenny and I if we would pray, if one of us would speak this Sunday. And I really didn't want to. I'm learning Czech, and that's about all that my brain can handle at one time. In fact, it's not handling that very well. But something in me said I should. I mean, I appreciate this church, and I preached for 35 years, and it's like, well, I should. But I said, I'll think about it, Mark. Well, Jenny and I will talk about it. A couple days passed, and I hadn't thought much about it because I was just kind of ignoring it. And I went into the shower, and all of a sudden, I realized I can't put it off forever. So I said, God, should I do this? And actually, there was a different question that came to mind. And the question was, do I have a message? God, do you have a message that you want me to bring to this group? And it was amazing. Just that quick, I heard the passage about asking God to open doors. I didn't remember where it was from. I knew it was from Paul's letter. But it was that passage, asking God to open a door. You know, preaching is a wonderful thing if you have a message. If you don't have a message, it's pretty miserable. And I went through 35 years of needing to do it almost every Sunday, and sometimes I had a message and sometimes I didn't, but I had to do it anyway. But here, I was given a message, and there's a joy that comes when God gives someone a message. And I bring that message to you today. It's the same message I need to hear, to pray for an open door. Pray that God will open a door to his message. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand how all that works. I don't understand all the things of what people have called spiritual warfare. I don't understand that, but I keep hearing again, do it. Don't have to understand it, just do it. Now, we're a Methodist congregation, open to people of all backgrounds of the Christian faith, as John Wesley, who was an Englishman, who was actually, God used a bunch of Moravians from this land to bring him to Christ. But one of the things he said was that God does nothing except an answer to prayer. He was a man of prayer. He got up every morning, 4:30, to pray and spend most of his morning praying before he would have this ambitious circuit of preaching that he did. God does nothing except an answer to prayer. Pray that God will open a door for telling the mystery of Christ. While I'm locked up, pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain to them as day. Use your heads as you live and work amongst outsiders. My version says, make use of every opportunity. Be watchful. Be aware. You never know the time that God is reaching out to someone. In fact, he's reaching to people all the time. So the other day I was walking down the street here in Prague, and I was noticing people, and I just was kind of grumpy. And they all looked like, well, I mean, I wasn't thinking real good thoughts about these people. And I became convicted, and I'm not sure exactly how, but I began to ask God to help me to see these people as he sees them. And well, all of a sudden, I began to see the same people in a very different way. I began to see them, I believe, as God gave me his heart. These are people that God wants them to know that he loves them, that he made them. And he wants to give them life, and life that is full of joy and peace. And so I don't know how it all works, but I continue to encourage myself, and I encourage Pastor Mark, and he encourages me to pray. To pray, and I encourage you to pray. One day I was praying through the people that I know here, and my language helper, who I've been praying for, I've known for almost a year and a half now. And she's very comfortable in not talking about anything that has anything to do with spiritual things. But I was praying for her, and all of a sudden I saw her, And she was here in the sanctuary, and she was like this, raising her hands, singing praise to God. Rob must have been leading, I'm not sure. But she was there, and there was this beautiful look of joy and peace on her face. And so that's what I see as I pray for her. Because I believe that's God's heart towards her, that she would have this dynamic relationship with the living God that fills her with joy and with peace. I want to close with one more thing, one more tie-in that happened. Last week, Heather preached, Pastor Mark's wife, and it was truly amazing. I mean, I was so blessed. But the passage that Jenny read at the very beginning of the service was the passage that she spoke from. And it was a story of them calling Jesus because Jairus's, the official's daughter had died. And on the way there, they told him, oh, don't bother the teacher because she's already dead. And the public mourners had already come, and they were all crying and just mourning the fact that she had already died. And Jesus saw things differently. He took his closest disciples and the parents in and said, she's not dead, she's only sleeping. See, Jesus's perspective was different. And they began to ridicule him, make fun of him, because they all knew that she was dead. The whole world knew that she was dead. And Jesus said, no, she's only sleeping. And he went in and he took her by the hand. And whether or not she was, I don't know, clinically dead or just sleeping or whatever all that meant, she was restored. And as she spoke that story, God was applying that to my situation. Now, we have proof in our congregation that not all Czechs are atheists. We have McCall, we have Petter, others who prove that not all Czechs are atheists, that God can get a hold of people's lives, that they can come into awareness of him. See, that's what we can begin to say, though, and people will say themselves, there'll be this kind of mindset. But that's not God's final word. God, I believe, is saying, no. Right now, they're just sleeping. They're just sleeping. And I have the power to wake them up. Do you want that to happen, Bill? Do you believe? Will you cry out in prayer? I don't understand how that works. John Wesley says God does nothing except in answer to prayer. Are we willing? Are we willing to be devoted to prayer? Are we willing to lay down our lives and cry out to God and be watchful and aware and take the opportunities that come and be praying for one another that the message might go forth, that people might be raised out of their sleep into the fullness of the abundant life that God came and sent his son Jesus to give us. So pray. Pray. Watch. Be open to God and act in faith. We'll transition now into our time of prayer together. We invite all of you to pray quietly. And any of you that feel so led to pray out loud in whatever language is comfortable for you. I'm going to read this passage one more time and go right from there into that prayer time. When you pray out loud, you give people a chance to agree with you. And places in the scripture says that's a good thing. God, somehow we don't understand that, but when we agree, there's something really good about that. But all of us, when we're praying together, use this time to pray, to connect with God, to ask that he'd open doors, to be watchful, to be aware, to think about what's going on in your life, to think about the rest of your day and say, okay, God, I want to live it in your fullness. I want to be ready. I want to see you at work. So I'll read this, and then we'll go right into prayer, and then I'll close this at the end of that time. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Shall we pray?